Hey, welcome back. It's Frankie Boyer.
And this is Biz Talk Radio. We are now joined by a woman who has the most fascinating background. She's a therapist, but she's also a writer who is of Cuban and Sicilian descent.
That would be me.
We'll hear more about that.
I was going to say, don't hold that against me.
No. Yvette Araujo, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Frankie. It's really great to be on with you this morning. Thank you for inviting me.
You work with troubled young men and as a therapist. The question is, are sports figures and the entertainers and are we giving the wrong message to young men about it's so unrealistic, the money that sports figures make today.
Well, you're absolutely right, Frankie. And yes, I think the expectations of what we are and who we are to become is, you know, we've set the bar so high, but we don't, you know, in our public life, in our private lives, I don't think parents and children understand the work that goes involved with those phenoms that are out there making it happen, or the athletes that do and the entertainers that do have mediocre talent, but they're at the right place at the right time, or they'll do something that's very negative and they will take the quick fix into Hollywood status by doing something negative, and social media helps push it out there. And the more dangerous, the more reckless, and the more sensational it is, the more, you know, Instagramming and the more tweets happen. And it's sad because that's instant fame and it's lasting longer than 15 minutes and the money is more than, you know, $100. And you don't, you know, you're not sitting and, you know, practicing hoops, you know, hour after hour, year after year till you get that scholarship.
Yeah.
You know, it's
right,
just,
right.
You know, so it's sad to see
and
how
we have,
really.
I'm sorry, Yvette. We have two stories. We have one of LeBron James, who, by the way, was at Boston Garden earlier than anyone yesterday.
Yeah.
He opened up the place.
Right.
The minute, you know, that it was open, he was there practicing.
Right.
And then you have Aaron Hernandez.
Right.
Who had the most brilliant career.
Yeah.
Handed to him. He worked hard for it, but handed to him with a cavalier attitude that he was invincible and could do anything. And here is an example of two young men. One that took his fame, has created foundations, has created all kinds of opportunities for housing, for young, struggling kids in the inner cities. LeBron James has done an amazing turnaround with his life and with everyone around him.
And the key word is turnaround, because I think maybe not to the extent of, you know, the Hernandez case, but, you know, he was on a path where it could have gone either way. And I am so glad, that there was something, some divine intervention. I don't know if, you know, there was someone in his family, but something caught hold of him and he stopped dead in his track and said, this is not the way it should be. Whereas you have someone that is without conscience, first you have to have that foundation. If you don't have that foundation, then you can't go back to it because you don't know what it is. And one of the key things, another key thing you said, which is really interesting and truth, is that it was handed to Hernandez. So when you don't work for it as much, as I said in the beginning, you know, you don't remember, there's no memory of where you were versus where you're.
I want to ask you a question. A friend of mine said, once a thug, always a thug. He was a millionaire thug before he became a millionaire. He was still a thug.
Yes.
And, you know, I have to say, I think maybe that's the case.
I would agree. I'm with you on that. And again, you know, it's the, you know, live fast, die, you know, die fast, live hard and fast, or however the Fast and Furious theme. And while those movies are amazing to watch, they are for entertainment purposes only, but you have these young men that want to emulate just these things. I don't think that when 50 Cent, and I'm going to say it, and it's correct, I'm not going to say 50, but when he was born, I don't think anyone would have imagined that he would have been riddled with bullets and, you know, had the lifestyle that he did and survived it, survived prison, and then came out and, you know, is now making mega hits and all of these things. So, you know, having said that, you know, where is your foundation? Where is your beginnings? Where's your faith? Where is all of that in the mix of stardom? Well, I think it's lost. And somewhere between the ages of 2 to 13, it doesn't get, you know, brought to light by parents or some type of role model in your life. If you're not fortunate, you know, to have parents that are in the home that care, one or two, maybe an uncle, maybe, you know, maybe another family member, maybe some type of mentor, and these things are lost from a very early age.
I agree with you. I had a bit of a crossroads in my own life when I was about 16 years old, and my mother was a very wise woman, mm-hmm. and the decisions that my mother made changed my life and the way that my life turned out today.
That's a powerful statement. That is a very powerful statement, and that is really the genesis of something that I have been holding deep inside forever, and it made me make decisions, both good and bad, growing up on a very strong woman, whom is my mother. And it's showcased in my book called, you know, Open Diary of a Black Girl. And, you know, if it wasn't for one thing that my mom did at holiday time, I don't know if I would have done all of the things in which you introduced me with, and the things that I have been through, the things that that have changed my life, the things that I've done to help, and some things that I've done to hurt people and come to.
Absolutely. Hey, what is the best website of that, Yvette? And can we have you come on for a few more minutes?
Absolutely. You want to go to fallenthebookseries.com.
And we'll talk more about the series when we come back from break. We're on Biz Talk Radio. Stay tuned. This is Frankie Boyer.
Biz Talk Radio.
And welcome back to that. Arujo.
Arujo.
Arujo, I'm sorry.
No worries.
And Arujo is with us today. She is a background in psychology. She's the author of supernatural novels.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk a little bit about those. She's worked as a therapist for troubled young males.
Yes.
And it's nice to have you back. So
Thank you.
Talk to us about your books and who they're reaching and why you're doing this.
Well, you know, I love that you did ask me that question, because when people think of supernatural, they automatically think of the underworld and something very dark. And, you know, for me, supernatural from the very earliest of my age has never meant anything dark. It always meant your six senses in which you tap into. It can be telekinesis, telepathy, clairvoyance, all of these things that we take for granted, you know, our God-given intuition, you know, that says, hey, you know what, today is going to be great. I don't know quite what's going to happen, but this is going to be a good day and I'm going to close the deal. Or, you know, I think I probably should leave a little earlier, and you find out once you get to work, there's a massive accident on the road. I think all these things are supernatural. So in my 12 part book series, it is about six ordinary people like you and I that discover that they no longer have a life as they know it as humans on Earth, and that they are part of a greater being. They find out that they're the six archangels from many millennium ago, actually. And they're not prepared for that. They have since lost their old ways of, you know, tapping into those six senses. And so they are recalled into battle for what we call the end of days. And it takes you through each individual character and how they struggle making the transformation from human into something, you know, supernatural. And whether or not they want to walk on the dark side, the light side, sit on the fence, but they know that they don't really have a choice in the end. So these 12 books takes you through what they went through as humans, starting from a very early age to their demise, and then now this second life that they're living as supernatural entities that walk the earth, and they have to make a decision if they're going to, you know, go to battle with something greater than themselves.
Where are you in this series of books? What book are you up to?
I have written all 12, and the third one, Androgyny, which takes you further along. Now they have come to fully aware of understanding who they are and what they need to do. And that will be released in the summer of this year.
How exciting.
It is. It really is.
What's your schedule like for writing?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm working between right now on a very passionate project called Room 8. It's a docudrama about the AIDS epidemic and the resurgence of it, because there's just, again, as you speak about the young males and young females.
No,
and
we just did a segment yesterday on it. Yes.
Oh, your kid. Oh, my gosh. I am so passionate about this project because there's just so much ignorance. Because in the 90s, you had such a spike of babies having babies. You know, you were pregnant at 14, giving birth at 15, and that seemed to be we lost sight of all the other ills of the world. You know, bringing life into the world is not a horrible thing. It will take your life on a different track, but getting HIV virus, getting, you know, and then having it go a full-blown AIDS, or not being aware, just being ignorant on how it is, you know, something that you contract, has been lost on today's youth. They do so many reckless things out of ignorance because, you know, their parents haven't told them, or they're not, you know, sufficiently aware of how this, you know, epidemic will come full circle once again, as it did in the 80s, when we learned of, you know, some of our biggest icons, entertainers that had the virus, but had the disease itself. And unfortunately, we didn't have the pharmaceuticals at the time that knew how to introduce itself, you know, to eradicate or even to calm down the virus and or the disease. So this particular project I'm working on feverishly and would like to have it finished by December. But it's tough. It's really tough because a lot of people are just so unaware. So I think this will bring awareness. There is a story that's underneath it as well that puts a human face on it, not just a bunch of numbers and statistics. And so we're really proud of that.
And for someone who buried her best friend, my best friend died of AIDS many years ago, and he was one of the first to go. And
me too.
Gosh, devastating.
It really was. You know, I think, Frankie, what was so devastating for me when I go back 20 years ago, and it's funny because his name was Frankie, and you saw this vibrant person full of life, and over 18 months, I saw physically, how he went from robust to just absolutely.
Those were exactly my words yesterday, to see this strapping, handsome guy become a twig of a human being. So thin, you could have blown him over.
I'm telling you.
So emaciated.
Yes.
So hollow looking.
Hollow. He looked like, you know, if you looked in Webster's and you saw death, his name would be next to it. Because you never
That's
seen
right.
such a fast plummet of, you know, the teeth loss, the,
yeah.
the like you said, the hollow and the grayish looking skin. And, you know, and still cracking jokes along the way as he understood that the end was quite near. And sometimes pepped me up on days, and he was like, "You think you got it rough?" And we would laugh, you know. But to watch it, it was like watching a train wreck in sometimes slow motion and then hyperspeed. It was absolutely, you know, just devastating for me.
Horrible.
So yeah, so definitely for Frankie, for all the Frankies in the world, you know, I do this for him.
My friend was Alex.
Alex, okay. Yes. And
for the Frankie and the Alexes.
Yes.
This was, and you know what's so interesting is that what we saw was not uncommon.
No.
And
you're
the
right.
The stigma and the shame and
yeah.
the way in which this illness robbed everybody, the family, the friends, the patients, everyone, you know, everyone was robbed.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, I watched.
Helpless.
And you are. And you're so right. All you could do was be last man standing in his corner, at least where Frankie was concerned. He had a thriving business that he had franchised at least five times over. And you, as people were starting to, you know, see the signs, and there were the whispers. You saw the livelihood go down. Now it was four stores. Now it was three stores. Then it was two stores. Then, you know, he held on to the very one where, you know, all of his friends still rallied and we came, even if we didn't, you know, need services done. We did not care because we wanted to be there for him. And that's all he had left, you know. And, you know, to see him walk around at a brisk pace 6 months before and then was on an oxygen tank, rolling into his business and still wanting to be there, head of the store, knowing that he couldn't perform the duties, was just, I mean, my heart, just speaking on it, still aches. But what angers me is the ignorance of it. This is something that does not have to be, you know, it just doesn't. If we empower ourselves, enlighten ourselves, if we inform ourselves, it does not have to be. We can stop it. It's something that can be totally erased if just taken the correct precautions. And that is the message that I'm hoping to get out to the young and even to the older, you know, generation that says, well, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, I don't date very much, but it only takes once. Only once. And the virus is so fragile, it takes, you know, 5 to 10 years to incubate in your system. So, I mean, you know, you don't know if you don't go and do your checkups. You know, it's so
right.
sad, you know.
And can you give out your website information and the books and all the things that you're working on, the projects, please?
Oh, Frankie, thank you so much. Again, it's www.fallenthebookseries.com. And the first two of a series of 12 of Fallen, the book series about the seven archangels, will be on that site. And the newest Kindle release, Over the Rainbow, Open Diary of a Black Girl, has just been released 2 weeks ago. I'm really proud of that. That's the first of many.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frankie. Have a great day.
You too. And we'll be right back. This is Frankie Boyer, Biz Talk Radio.
Take care.